You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we have brand new episodes every other Friday. Don't miss them. Hit that subscribe button and they'll just drop into wherever you get your podcasts from. We've got a great guest on this episode. We are revisiting somebody who was on the podcast way back when we started. It's a pre-pandemic chat with Chris, who at the time we spoke last time, went with his little boy, who's only 18 months old. He's a little bit older now, and I bumped into them on my last trip. We'll catch up with Chris very soon. Will tell you where to see The Wanted in Disney World this year. Yes, legendary British boy band The Wanted are coming to Disney World. More in that in the news. And answering your questions, make sure you give us a follow on all the socials. At Pod Magical is where we are. And if you've got any questions, drop me a line. I'll see if I can answer it for you. Debbie wants to know, on wet days, Andy, where should we head to? Which is the best rainy day park? Good question. I would say Epcot. That's tend to where I tend to head to in Epcot, because if you go to the land pavilion, if it's really raining, you can get in there, you can grab something to eat either down at Garden Grill or the quick service down there. You can do Soarin', you can get in line for that. There's the Lion King film that's on in there as well. You can also do Living with the Land, so there's quite a few attractions in there. And then you can nip out and do Under the Seas with Nemo, which is inside, and then the aquarium's inside there as well. So there's quite a lot of indoor attractions at Epcot. Not so much the World Showcase, but I would say head over that way. You want to avoid anywhere, especially in Lightning, that's got a lot of outdoor attractions. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train will be closed in Lightning. Slinky Dog will be closed in Lightning. Everest, obviously, will be closed in Lightning. So, yeah, I'd say Epcot for a rainy day park. Any questions? At Pod Magical is where we are. You'd like to be a podcast guest? Drop me a message at Pod Magical. Let's talk to Chris now. It's time to catch up with a former podcast guest. We've done this a few times now. Somebody who was with us right at the start of the podcast and somebody who I bumped into in Animal Kingdom, of all places, with his little boy Jack. Hello again, Chris.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. It was so good to see you that morning. We were just rope dropping Flight of Passage and I heard this voice, Andy?
I was like, it's Andy from the podcast. Chris, I was on that. I was a guest. What a small world.
Indeed, yeah. In the hustle and bustle of walk as fast as you can, but don't run.
It was very stressful, wasn't it?
It was, especially for you having to do your four parks in one day.
Yeah, of course. That was the Friday for me. I was on the start of my four parks one day. So that was the first one that opened. So I was there nice and early. And what time did you get there? How early were you for rope drop? Because it must have arrived around the same time.
I think so, yeah. I think that was 7:30 gates open that day, which was a bit hard considering that was our journey back day. So knowing that we were going to have a really long day, and my son picked the one park that has the earliest rope drop, and he specifically wanted to do Flight of Passage. So we knew we had to be there at rope drop.
And then he wanted to go for a coffee.
He's very thoughtful. So he knew that coffee was my agenda.
What did you do for the rest of the day? Because we got on that, we were split off because we were queued together, and then we got split off into an up and a down one. What did you do after you did Flight of Passage?
Yeah, we followed round and did the. We've actually followed you down round, but we were just running a little bit behind. We did the safari, which was a really good safari. Because it was quite early in the morning, and then we went over to Expedition Everest because this was the first trip that he was allowed to do that, so he liked to do that multiple times, and then we had to go around to almost say goodbye to Dinosaur. So he was big fan. He's been a big fan of Dinosaur, and knowing that that's probably going to be the last time that we get to enjoy that in its current skin.
You did quite a bit then, in what, probably about 2 hours, would you say, Animal Kingdom that morning?
Yeah, definitely. If you can get Flight of Passage under your belt, you can get through the rest of it quite quickly. None of the shows start that early. So, and then back to the hotel, ready to pack up the car.
Yeah, and no Genie Plus required?
I think we did actually do a Genie Plus on a couple of days. But if I'm going to be honest, it's getting to the point where if you just make use of the extra hours in the morning, we were going back to the room for a bit of downtime. And then going back in and catching the quieter time at the end of the day. And actually that seems to get us on everything quite a few times. We used individual lightning lanes. We booked it for Guardians just to get the extra ride in a day, really. But other than that, no, it's Genie Plus is getting to the point where we don't necessarily need it too much. Maybe more hassle than it's worth.
Because last time you were on the podcast, your life has changed quite a bit, because obviously it was pre-pandemic. You only had, Jack was what?
18 months, about 18 months old. Pre-pandemic, we'd just come back and everything had started to shut down. So it was, a bit of a change since then.
And you've had another little one since then?
Yeah, we've had a little girl. So this was this May trip was her 18-month trip as well. So she was very similar age to Jack on her first trip. So it was lovely to see the similarities but also the differences.
And obviously Jack is a little bit taller. It was only Tron that he couldn't go on this time, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. He was really, really upset, but actually took it really well. We did pre-warn him that it was going to be close, and although his hair touched the bar, the guy who was doing the measuring just said, "I'm really sorry, but I can get my finger underneath there, so it's going to have to be a no." So some people did mention in the queue that we were waiting with you that they used to shove wedges in shoes, but I thought that was probably a little bit extreme for a safety feature. So there's always next time.
It's a great excuse to come back. And how did he react when he got to the queue and he couldn't get on? Was he all right with it?
He was notably upset, but like I say, he understood and he took it absolutely fantastically, especially when myself and my mother-in-law did still go on. So my wife was the perfect parent and said that she won't do it until he can do it. So he was really happy about that. But we left them and went and did it ourselves. So good new addition, great new ride, really quite unique. A little short, but we didn't wait too long, and just quite a thrilling ride. So a nice addition to that park.
Because last time you were on the podcast, we didn't have Guardians, we didn't have Tron. So has that changed your favourite attraction? What was your favourite attraction? What did you tell us it was last time? And is it still the same?
I think it was probably Tower of Terror or Expedition Everest, I think I'd probably previously said. And I think now it is Guardians of the Galaxy, I think. It's just such a good coaster. And the fact that I believe it's a 42 height requirement, even the last trip, my son was able to do it at 4. So I think they've absolutely nailed a really good family coaster that's sort of entertaining. And yeah, pretty much the whole family can enjoy it. And it's not, you know, not too scary, but yeah, just the nice amount of thrill there. So yeah, we love it. So yeah, that was a big plus for us.
Of course, we'll have Tiana's next time we go back.
Yeah, so you'll have to try and keep away from spoilers, although seeing some of the animatronics going on. So yeah, really excited for that. That was my wife's favourite ride previously. So I'm hoping they've sort of plussed it, and it's a great, extremely long ride. So, and like I said, the animatronics look fantastic. So fingers crossed for that one.
Looks really good. And what's Jack's favourite ride?
He follows me with Guardians of the Galaxy. Flight of Passage and Expedition Everest, definitely, they were his first time riding this trip in May. So they really got close, I think. He really enjoyed Flight of Passage, and he's a good coaster fan. So Expedition Everest is just fantastic. It goes a bit quiet in the dark backwards section, but other than that, he loves it. So.
What was the first coaster you put him on? Was it over in Florida, or was it at home? And did you kind of go small? How did you work it in? Because anything could happen. You could either love this, or you could, you know, ruin him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, the first proper coaster would have been Florida. It might have been on his second trip, actually, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because it was just the first. On the very first day we went to Magic Kingdom, we rope dropped it, as you will do when you're jet lagged and you've already been up for 2 hours. We put him on that, and he loved it. So yeah, that was his first, I would say, official coaster. Barnstormer would have been probably an obvious choice, although that does whip you quite quickly, actually. So I think probably the slight more smoothness of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is probably a better option, and the theming takes their mind off it anyway. So,
and how have your holidays changed since pandemic, and now you've got two little kids? Are you doing Disney differently now, or is it still the same?
A little bit slower now with the kids getting slightly older. Or Jack, he can sort of keep up pretty much with everything. I mean, we're doing 20,000 steps, and you know, I dread to think what his little legs do in a day. But yeah, there's just a little bit more, slightly more divided. One of us has to sometimes stay off. So we did find that there was only of the bigger rides, there was only a couple of times that my wife and me rode at the exact same time. So that's a slight change, but there's plenty of the family coasters. And my mother-in-law actually, on one of our last Epcot day, took the little one. So we all got a good ride on Jack's favourite coaster. So that's good. Yeah, just a little bit more planning. If the little one will sleep in the pushchair, one person can go for a stroll around World Showcase, or go and actually, one day I went and completed the 50th anniversary statues by waving at them like a complete idiot. That was me while the child was sleeping in the pushchair. So yeah, there's loads to do. It's just slightly more divided, but still really fun, and there's loads to do together still.
A lot of people actually have said that, who've got little ones who usually have an afternoon nap. They go, well, actually, sometimes we don't need to go back. As long as they can sleep in their pushchair, in their stroller, pretty much good to just carry on.
Yeah, actually, sometimes going back during the day and having a nap was actually to get my five-year-old through to fireworks. One night we actually did fireworks, stayed for the extra hour, and then because we were staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, we were actually allowed to stay from 10 till 12 in for extra magic hours in the evening. And we got we got so much done in that sort of 2 hours. We managed to do, it was just me, my mother-in-law and Jack, but we managed to get Big Thunder, Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Tron, and Winnie the Pooh, I think, all done within that 2 hour period. So it was incredible. I don't think I've ever done that amount in just being able to walk on. But all you just had to do is scan your magic band at the entrance.
Those deluxe hours are really worth it. Like you say, you can get in that half an hour, and if you're lucky enough to get the couple of hours at Magic Kingdom and Epcot once a week, you really can do all the attractions. And then the rest of the time, when everybody else is keen for attractions during the day, you can kind of like just lap up the atmosphere of the park, can't you?
Yeah, it's a good time to have your snacks or go and do some of the less popular things, but you know, the fillers that you still want to do. But grab some air conditioning, because that was definitely needed on that trip.
When we went, there was no rain. Didn't have a spot of rain at all in 2 weeks.
No,
strange.
It was it was perfect weather, wasn't it? And I think actually changed looking at the weather, as you inevitably do when you come back. It actually changed the week after. So yeah, I think that's going to give me rose-tinted glasses for that time of year, for the start of May, but it might not always be like that.
Not always. Chris is with us on the podcast. We'll be back in a moment. Let's do a news update first, Chris. Just a few days before the Country Bears musical jamboree reopens with a new look and new songs. It's already been into preview. We know the songs that are going to be in the new show now, and it's very much in the spirit of the Country Bears jamboree, but I think it's more family friendly, more contemporary songs, more newer Disney songs that people can sing along to. Try everything from Zootopia, Kiss the Girl from Little Mermaid, A Whole New World from Aladdin performed by Wendell, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, Fixer Upper from Frozen, Remember Me from Coco, performed by Big Al, You Got a Friend in Me, Bare Necessities, Come Again. They're the songs that are in the brand new Country Bear show, which is pretty much, we might as well say it's open because it's already into preview. I've also got the list of artists appearing at this year's Eat to the Beat at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Some returning favourites: Tiffany, Billy Ocean, Hanson, who also usually sell their own beer at the Food and Wine Festival. Hops. We've got a brand new act, though, this year. UK boy band The Wanted. Yes, The Wanted will be performing at Epcot this year, part of the Food and Wine Festival. You'll be able to see them in September 22nd and 23rd. And also, this might save you a few quid if you're going over to Orlando over summer. The Orlando Magical Dining Offer. Now, this is a six-week event that raises money for loads of charities in Florida, August the 16th to September the 30th. It offers three-course fixed-price dinners at discounted prices, usually around $40 or $60 for the three courses. And there's quite a few Disney restaurants that are on there, including Summer House on the Lake and Haleo and the Edison at Disney Springs. A couple of the restaurants in the Swan and Dolphin are on there as well. If you want to have a look at more about that, there is a website. If you want to plan ahead, you can visit Orlando's Magical Dining at magicaldining.com. And you can follow us on all the socials at Pod Magical. Chris is back with us on the podcast, previous guest. You've just been back to Disney World. Now, your DVC members, was this another DVC trip?
We had a two-bedroom Savannah at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and it was at Kadani Village. So never stayed there before. So we've only had the DVC for three stays, but I think they're definitely paying for themselves. I would never want to be paying for that out of pocket, but when you get it on points, it's a lovely feeling.
So with the two bedroom ones, so you had two private bedrooms, but then you would have like a living space, the kitchen, the washer dryer, and basically like a home from home, like a little bungalow.
The footprint of it is fantastic. It's massive. So it's a sort of king bedroom with a huge ensuite, and then a living room, kitchen, which was really nice to be able to sit after the kids had been gone to bed for, you know, coffee or something in the evening. And then twin queens room on the other side. Yeah. So, and all attached by one balcony across the whole back of it to go and see the animals. So that was nice and special. So
did you actually use the kitchen to cook or anything? Or
no, not cook, but it's lovely to eat it. We just had toast in the morning or bagels, just to be able to get breakfast ticked out of the way.
Yeah.
And then you can concentrate, you don't have to then think about stopping for food or drink too much, and you can make use of that first half an hour, really. So
yeah, totally. We did the same, even though we didn't have like a one bedroom. We only had a normal DVC studio, but still having that microwave and a toaster and the coffee machine. If you get the stuff in, stick it in the fridge, it really does make a difference, first financially. And then, like you say, with a bit of time, get up, get your breakfast. And how many bathrooms did you have in your two bed?
It would have been three.
And whoa!
The ensuite one is absolutely massive as well. You could have you could probably get a double bed in the middle of the floor as well. Fantastic. Really nice. Starting to look a little bit dated, the Animal Kingdom rooms, but it didn't really bother us at all. They're still the theming still is fantastic. Everybody enjoyed it.
There does seem to be a lot more people here in the UK that are buying into DVC, or actually just renting DVC points. You know, I spoke to somebody last week who rented from, I think it was David's, and it's quite a good way to do it. And, you know, even if you're not sure whether DVC is for you, if you rent a few points for a week and stay in a studio or a one bed to see whether it's, you know, you like it or not. But yeah, definitely.
I can't agree with that more. I mean, if you're going to be staying in deluxe accommodation anyway, it's a couple of extra, it's not quite as easy as just clicking it on, you know, Disney Holidays, you know, a website, but the savings are massive and, you know, you'll get a few extra benefits as well. So
that's it. Yeah. Book your own flights. And you can, even if you're renting, you can still link that reservation once you've got it. You just link it into your My Disney Experience. It works exactly the same. Have you got any new favorite places to eat? Where are you eating on this trip? Any good restaurant recommendations for us?
No, we were running not so much sit down meals this time, but being at Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Sanaa, we were able to get the bread service and Sanaa takeaway, which was really nice. So that being able to have that back in the room was absolutely fantastic. I would say I have been thinking about their cheeseburger spring rolls multiple times since I've been back. They even on a 35 degree day, they were absolutely fantastic. So just lots of little snacks, trying new things, but no big sit down meals really, just the classic counter service really, just to try and stay a bit more just because we didn't want to have that too much of a tie with little ones, sort of thing. So
yeah, probably restaurants or not, even character dining, was that still a little bit
We did do Garden Grill. That was one of the ones we had a sit down, so a breakfast for that. It's a great way to just hit those 4 or 5 characters, and the food was good as well, so we all enjoyed that as an in-park place. That was a really nice breakfast.
Yeah.
That was about the only sit down we'd actually planned, so definitely next time round there'll be new ones, added to the list that we'll get back to. So,
and the good thing is, I've mentioned this before on the podcast about the Garden Grill, the food comes to you. So the characters come to you, the food comes to you when you've got an 18-month-old who might want to be up and about, and you've got to, can I get up for food? Will I miss Mickey Mouse? It's just, you just sit and just wait and it all comes to you.
Yeah, they're fantastic at knowing who's been seen, and making sure that they make sure that everyone's covered. So no, they're professionals at that. They really do. All those characters, all the even Chip and Dale messing around.
And is the youngest okay with characters? Because at 18 months, it can be intimidating. It can be a bit of a gamble sometimes when the first character meets.
Yeah, the first couple, we did actually do Disneyland Paris with her at 6 months old. So she had a little introduction, but she was a little standoff for the first 2 days of this trip. But after that, yeah, she really got into it. So some really lovely photos of her meeting sort of Winnie the Pooh and just striding off on her own across to the across to Winnie the Pooh, looking around the door, waiting for the other people to finish. And she absolutely also loved Sully. We managed to, while others were on Rise of the Resistance, I was with her, and there was no wait for Sully. So we went and saw him sort of 2 or 3 times, I think. So she loved the big fur characters.
If you could have a perfect 24 hours at Walt Disney World, your perfect day at Disney World, because I didn't ask you this last time you were on the podcast, this is a first, how would you spend your ideal day? Not your only day, but like your ideal day. Where would you stay? Where would you be waking up? Where would you be going first? What would you do?
I think having stayed at Wilderness Lodge, I would love to stay at one of their cabins. So I actually think I prefer them to the Poly bungalows. Nice, a bit more secluded, a bit more tucked away. So I'd probably go over to Animal Kingdom maybe first and do some of all the big hitters there, like we did on our last day. We would probably be eating, we'd probably be taking minivans for this, as it's the perfect day. Lunch would probably be, I'd love to try Tiffin's. That's definitely high up on the list at Animal Kingdom. And then probably back for an afternoon, evening at Magic Kingdom, getting on all of the big rides over there and finishing off with Happily Ever After, which I still think is definitely the number one of all the shows. It's still not been beaten. We did see the new one at Epcot, which was a really good fireworks display, but it's still not beating the projections and the story that's going through Happily Ever After. It's still my favourite.
Yeah. And the fireworks over the castle, you can't really beat that, can you, for an iconic end to a Disney day?
No, it does get everybody's jaws open, so they love it. So, and my son's watched it a little bit on YouTube, so we had to stop him singing too loud.
Oh, dear. Oh, let him sing. So have you got another trip planned anytime? Obviously, you've only been back early this year, so...
We haven't. At the moment, we look like we're going to have to let our DVC recharge slightly. But that's not to say that there might not be a cash booking somewhere. There's, you know, not so much with Tiana's coming... And also at the park down the street, there is obviously a lot coming next year. So I think getting to 2026 is going to be really difficult. So there might be a cash booking on the horizon, but we'll have to wait and see.
So with your DVC, you would not go next year, bank those points into the year after, and then the year after borrow from the following year. So you've got 3 years worth of points all in one. Is that how you're doing it?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, we've already borrowed some from next year anyway, so I've already banked them over to next year. So yeah, they're just to try and get sort of 2.5 years worth to be able to all get over there for a decent stretch.
Well, if I bump into you in the parks again, I will say hello, and maybe your little boy will get to go on Tron next time without needing to put anything in his shoes.
Definitely, yes. Yeah, no, without platforms.
Chris, nice to catch up on the podcast again, and have a magical day.
Thanks for that, Andy. Thanks for the podcast as well. It always, through the pandemic, was great to listen to it and keep the dreaming going.
Thanks again to Chris. If you would like to come on the podcast and talk about all things Disney World, your favourite attractions, your first time, drop me a message at PodMagical across all the socials. That's where we're going. If you will be going to Disney World over the next few weeks, download a few of these podcasts. Have a listen to them. Download them. You listen on the plane on the way over. Don't forget to tag us in your pictures as well, or share any pictures you've got. I would love to see them. We can share those. If you are going, well, the temperatures are incredibly hot at the minute. It is very, very hot over there. Also very busy as we're now into July, right in the middle of American school holidays and the start of the UK school holidays. It's going to be very busy and very hot over there. If you're getting Genie Plus, you're looking around $29. That seems to be topping out at the minute. Of course, Genie Plus is going to be going very soon. Individual lightning lanes will remain anyway. So Seven Dwarves is about $11, $12. Guardians is about between $16, give or take. Rise of Resistance, still the most expensive one, coming in anything between $20 and $25 to go on Rise of the Resistance. Also as well, pound to dollar's not doing too bad. About 1.29, that's topped out at this week. And of course, there's no festivals on at the minute. There's no parties, no festivals. There's a brilliant new parade, though, over at Universal, if you're going to go and see that one. That just started a couple of weeks ago. And of course, the Country Bears are going to be back. If you are going, here is a top tip. We always end the podcast with a top tip. Now, did you know you can skip the stretching room in the Haunted Mansion? That's the scary part of the attraction. Now, yes, it might be because you just want to jump a little bit of the queue. You just want to cut it out. I mean, if you've never done it before, you've got to do the stretch you're in. But maybe some people don't want to, or maybe it's triggering. It can be quite scary in there. But if you just tell a cast member as you're going in, look, I'm not really keen on this stretch you're in bit, but we still want to do the attraction, they will take you round to the back of the queue to get on the queue for the ride instead. Top tip for this episode. If you've got any tips, or if you want to be a podcast guest, or you've got anything to share, then do let me know. At PodMagical is where we are on the socials. Brand new episodes of this podcast every other week. Every Friday, every other Friday, there's a new podcast. So hit that subscribe button and it'll appear just as magic. And until the next one, please stand clear of the doors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to TryMeowGreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.